Solak and Bertrand.
While you work.
Pretty much guarantee a two-year deal for Brady.
You expect us to believe that?
Adam Jones wraps up the day.
And he scores.
I mean, you're talking about dominant run.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We all have our morning routine.
This kids ain't gonna learn nothing.
Thanks for making Toucher and Rich part of yours.
That's right, baby.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Okie dokie, let's go.
It's like this.
Oh, I haven't heard this song in forever. 98.5 to Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. And people have Alexa. I have no idea why people have Alexa.
I'm with you, Fred.
No, but I just don't get it. Like, it says here, Amazon's voice assistant can play music. Well, so can everything else. Set timers. What? It's like such a...
You're naming everything my phone does.
Well, no, but like, I mean, you could get an egg timer. I mean, who cares about setting timers? Order a pizza, which you can do on your computer.
Or your phone.
You can just do everything. I mean, who needs to... Like, what's the point of just going like, hey, I want to order a pizza?
And someone's saying you could talk to it. Well, I mean, you can talk to your phone.
Well, that's very sad if you need Alexa just to talk to.
No. I mean, talk to it and tell it to do things and get information.
I thought he was just lonely.
Well, yeah. There was someone who Alexa recorded a private conversation and then sent the conversation to one of their friends.
Alexa did it herself?
I saw this.
Wow.
To someone else. It says, my husband and I would joke and bet these devices are listening to what we're saying. This woman, Danielle, said... She said the incident happened 2 weeks ago when an employee called them to say that she'd receive a strange voice message recording of them. The person on the other line said, unplug your Alexa device right now. She told the station, you're being hacked. The audio recording included the couple talking about hardwood floors. Wow, what an interesting couple. Danielle said they turned off the multiple Echo smart speakers, contacted Amazon, and spoke to an Alexa engineer who apologized multiple times.
Did you hear how that happened? Okay,
no.
So, Amazon, they contacted Amazon. It's like, how are these random people getting recordings of me in my home, and they're getting emailed full conversations that I've had? Like, I guess this clip was, like, extensive. Mm-hmm. And so, imagine you opening up a clip and it being, like, some random person that you know talking to their wife about, I don't know, whatever floor.
Sconces.
Yeah, whatever it is. But here's how it happened. So Amazon confirmed that it indeed happened, but there was these improbable series of events is what they're saying that took place for it to happen. It wasn't a hack or a bug in the device, but a case of Alexa's always listening microphones mishearing a series of words and mistakenly sending a voice message. They said, quote, Echo woke up due to a word in the background conversation sounding like Alexa. Then the subsequent conversation was heard as a send message request, Amazon said in a statement, at which point Alexa said out loud, to whom? At which point the background conversation was interpreted as a name in the customer's contact list. Alexa then asked out loud, the contact name, right? Alexa then interpreted the background conversation as right. As unlikely as this string of events is, we are evaluating options to make this case even less likely. That is the biggest pile of corporate BS lies I've ever heard in my entire life. Alexa, first of all, you should just stop at the constantly listening Alexa.
Right.
Yeah, so it sits there and waits. So it's like there's something on the other side that is constantly taking note of what you are saying. So if you think that everything's cool because, as I said, what's the number one use of Alexa? It's Alexa, play Imagine Dragons for your dumb kids to like go, hey, I want to hear Imagine Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Other than that, what are you doing that's revolutionary with your Alexa? And you're selling your soul and your privacy to the highest bidder when you do that. So just sleep well at night. And now Alexa's laughing at people in the middle of the night. Did you hear about this?
Yes.
Yeah, there's like a creepy laugh coming from the other room.
I just don't get...
Did you guys see that weird video of like the robots like that went out jogging?
Yes.
Yes.
It's terrifying.
It's the end of times.
Yeah.
It's the end of times.
Yeah. It's Skynet taking over.
Yeah. I don't know why they had them running on 2 feet.
To scare you even more.
No, it just seems like that's... And then it was stupid. It like went up to a branch and it had to like figure out if it was going to jump or not.
Well, the worst is when
they
put
those sons of bitches on 4 feet.
They did. The cyber dogs. Have you seen those? They can open doors.
Yeah,
it's like a dog that can open a door.
No, the worst part is the person on the other side was holding the door to keep the dog from opening it, and the dog got pissed. The dog's like yanking on the door to try and open it.
Well,
because the human
nice
wouldn't let him
robot.
Do it. I mean, that's just what we need in society, an angry robot dog. Hey. Fantastic.
It's better than that thing running around on 2 feet.
Yes.
They were just doing that to show off. There's no practical implication to 2 feet.
I think there is a practical implication, but it doesn't involve the service industry.
Oh, no.
Of course. Well, we talked about this.
Yeah, pretty soon. It's going to rule.
The world's oldest profession.
Yeah, that's what the robots ultimately will be used for.
You know what was supposed to be out by now? Is hologram porn. Like, there was supposed to be, like, in Star Wars, it was supposed to be that your computer would create these multidimensional
like, you press a button and all of a sudden she's here?
Yeah, or the whole scene is happening, like, in front of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, like in a hologram. And I don't know why that hasn't happened yet.
You disappointed?
Yeah. Like, you wouldn't use it?
Like a hologram?
Bert, that's revolutionary. Fess up. Admit it. That's revolutionary stuff.
Yeah, you know.
Think about it.
When the internet has some porn, no one really into it. Of course I would use it. It would be fascinating.
Is there any difference between Alexa and Siri?
I think Siri you have to press a button to trigger it.
Yeah,
like Siri you have to press a button.
Alexa just is listening
constantly.
I feel like these things are created just to prove some dude in Silicon Valley can produce it, right? I never use Siri. Do you guys?
I turn it off because I kept accidentally pressing it, and now I have a different phone that uses Google or something.
It was fun when you first get the phone, but then after about 2 hours, there's no reason for it.
The only thing I've ever used it for is to ask stupid questions to see what it will say. Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like I feel like it's just to prove that Apple can make it.
You're letting a group of strangers who have access to disseminating your information anywhere in the world that they want to listen in on your conversations at home. That's what you're doing when you get Alexa in there. They said it right there. Even Amazon themselves admitted it's constantly listening to you. And then you get random stuff like that happening. Why would you do that? What benefit outweighs your privacy
being sold? Unless it made hologram porn.
Well, that's a little different.
Well, if Alexa could do that, that would be a bestseller, right?
If Alexa could make, whoever makes hologram porn first, is going to be an extremely wealthy individual.
Alexa, play Jenna Jameson, and there she is.
Well, that is a reference from 400 years ago.
Sorry, I don't know the new wave of people.
Yes, you do.
No, I really don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't. Why do you insist that I know up-to-date stuff? I have some knowledge, but not encyclopedic like yours.
I don't have encyclopedic knowledge. I just know post-Jenna Jameson adult film stars. So what are you watching, Super 8 films in your basement?
Yes, I have the reel-to-reel, and that's how I play a big screen on the wall.
You have behind the
green
door?
When the kids are at school. When I leave here, that's what happens. So I go down, I lock myself in the basement.
When you go on the internet to watch pornography, you put in Jenna Jameson?
That's the first name that came to mind, Fred.
Okay,
honestly.
But like what? So what do you put in?
No, he puts in luscious black booties. That's what he loves.
Is that what you put in?
There's ass everywhere.
Do you use luscious?
No,
you don't use the term luscious. No.
But you are a huge fan of that.
Yes.
Okay.
I told you this.
So will you go to Pornhub? All right. You're not a part of the show.
So have a seat.
Will you put in like big butts?
I haven't done that in a while, but I have in the past, yes.
When was the last time you looked at pornography on the internet?
Oh, it's been longer than you think.
Really? Because you have time during the day.
I do. Well,
You've never been able to take a nap?
Sure you do. What's that?
You've never not been able to take a nap?
I've done that, but I haven't. No, I haven't downloaded. I haven't done that in a while.
Well, you don't have to download anything.
No, looked at it, whatever the case. I have not done that in a long time.
Really?
Yeah. Taking a break, yeah.
Do you have an iPad? Are you taking a break by on purpose?
No, it just so happens that way, you know. You go without it for a week. You know, it's kind of like a diet. You know, you try new food for a week, you get used to it.
I mean, it does get boring.
Yeah.
I mean, it does. You feel like you've seen everything.
After a while, you're like, there are really no nooks and crannies to explore anymore.
Yeah, but I can't. Yeah. But a week is a very long time.
Oh, yeah. I've done it at least 5 or 6 weeks now, at least.
5 or 6
weeks?
Well, you're running out of your libido. Is what's happening.
You think that's what it is?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. You get older, these things happen.
Yeah. Well, no.
It's all in front of you guys. Me, I've already passed that.
Well, no, I used to be multiple times a day, and now it's like...
Multiple times a day?
Of course.
No, I've never done that.
In your life?
Well, in my life,
in
yes,
20s?
But
no?
Not recently. It's not recently.
I mean, Samantha Fox and I used to make love 5 times a day.
Well, I feel like... there aren't porn stars anymore because
there's
so much of it that like there's no like because it used to be what probably like three or four companies
and you would, Vivid like, and like they would have all the hot chicks
there probably aren't legit porn stars anymore because there's just it's
only
everywhere.
So many contract girls now
I don't know how it works now it's all free so I don't know. I don't even know how they make money. I guess they don't make money anymore.
That was the thing. There are people that work, you know, job to job, and then there are people that work for, like, say, Vivid. They get a contract, and then they're
But that doesn't happen anymore. From what I know is they make their money exclusively almost from escorting now.
Okay.
Is how they make their money.
Okay.
He just uses Google searches and types in.
You know what?
This is actually what plays when I open your browser. It's like...
I've actually tried this, and it works.
This is his election.
We know your type.
I'm proud of it. We talked about this.
It explains your love of all things like early 90s.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that's, I'm telling
you.
Yes.
Alexa just plays this. He just goes, hi, John.
It's your welcome home song.
Yeah, like Alexa hears the door open.
She's aware. You know?
That's right.
I don't have to wait.
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello!
The Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Last is we made modifications to our anthem policy. We did that this morning after a great deal of discussion. Yesterday, again this morning, it was unanimously adopted by the clubs. From our standpoint, this is a great opportunity to continue that partnership with our players and keep the focus on the progress and the programs that we think are so important in the communities. We're proud of that support, and we think that that's how change is really going to be made. Clearly, our objective as a league and to all 32 clubs, which was unanimous, is that we want people to be respectful at the national anthem. We want people to stand. That's all personnel, and make sure that they treat this moment in a respectful fashion. That's something that we think we owe. We have been very sensitive in making sure that we give players choices, but we do believe that that moment is an important moment.
.985 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Herb Breer from MMQB, which... Peter King is no longer a part of. I've heard that he had a very brief and concise article saying goodbye.
Well, in honor of him leaving, they actually honored him on Brandi Chastain's plaque, and they put his face right where the bronze was. I don't know why they thought they would use his face for Brandi Chastain's plaque, but they did. But okay, real quick, because we're going to talk to Bert about this. That's the sound of Roger Goodell lying twice. Mm-hmm. In his press conference, from what we now know about what really happened behind the scenes from, once again, Seth Wickersham shaking the trees and getting some info out of how this all went down. And apparently it's not as unanimous as it was portrayed to be by Roger Goodell.
Well,
so
no one is more patriotic than the NFL. I mean, the NFL, I have no cynicism at all on why they would take this stance. And why would they want the owners to look like they're American heroes?
Okay, so, Bert, Roger Goodell comes out yesterday, or the day before, yesterday, I believe it was, and says that we've got a unanimous vote that all of the owners are all on board with this brand new anthem stance, and that is you can stay in the locker room if you want to, but if you are out on the field during the anthem, you are going to stand and respect it, or you will be fined, punished, etc. And now we are hearing from your friend Seth Wickersham that that is not what happened behind the scenes, right?
So I'll take you guys through it real quick. They met for 2.5-3 hours on Tuesday afternoon. Then Roger and Jeff Pasch, his number two, basically stopped the meeting and said, we're going to go around the room one by one. All 32 teams said something. After that, Pasch had scribbled down some notes and came up with 5 points. Here's what the policy is going to look like. I want you guys to sleep on it. We'll come back and I'll have something for you. They come back the next morning. The 5 points are up on the overhead projector. It was so rushed that some of the owners in there noticed there were typos on it. Okay. The 5 points are up there on the overhead projector. And basically what they did at that point, they went around the room and they figured out how everybody was going to vote. And That was basic. That's what served as the vote.
This doesn't happen usually. Usually there is an official vote that is done when there's passing some. Like, yeah, if, like for mean, the kickoff rule, there's
now,
an official
this
vote.
This is a little different.
Because they love America so
this
much.
This is a privileged session. So this is only owners or owner's family, or if the owner is like Pat Bowlen couldn't be there because he's got Alzheimer's, they have like a club president or someone like that. So this is like as small a meeting as they ever had.
It was all the owners and Uncle Sam.
That's right. And a bald eagle running the meeting.
Jerry Jones, it's funny because you mentioned that. Jerry Jones actually had an eagle on his arm.
He was a falcon.
Wow.
He was a falconer.
And so Jed York stood up and said, I'm not going to vote for, I can't vote for this, but I'm not going to vote against it. The reason they do that generally is because they're never going to put something to vote that's going to be close. Like, that's why you always hear that every vote is unanimous or every vote is 30 to 2.
Well, that's why you vote.
Like, that's like, but they never put anything to vote. Like, if Roger went around the room and saw it was going to be, like it was worried it was either going to be 20, because you need 75%. It was worried, like, is it going to be 24-8? Is it going to be 23-9? They wouldn't put it to vote.
So the NFL at that point just ran with it. And said this has been so. What about the guys who didn't want to vote? And apparently,
what they went through was considered a vote. Like the way that they went through it was considered a vote. And so they had 30 guys who signed off on it. Who said,
you know, who one of them was who didn't, and I guess has been like the most eloquent of all of them on this issue.
Yeah, Mark Davis.
Mark freaking Davis.
Shocking.
This is going to be the second time I reference this in a week, but it's like when Urkel turned into Stefan. Like, all of a sudden, he became this really well-spoken guy.
I'm a communist. Yes.
Communist.
Yes, look, I got the communist manifesto.
I wonder if he just has, like, a Mark Davis translator. Like, he writes a lollipop. And they're like, oh, well, that obviously means that he's in protest.
I wanted the Lucky Charms guy.
But all of a sudden, like, Mark Davis is like the voice of reason in this.
Well, just remember, Stefan ultimately did turn back into Urkel.
I just don't want to stand.
Oh, is that what it is?
Nah. All the Cheetos are going to fall.
When I raised my hand, I thought we were ordering P.F. Chang. I'll take egg rolls.
Yeah, Mark Davis, well-known communist.
So now they've got a massive problem. I mean, and this is something we've talked about. I mean, how many people were kneeling at the end of these of the season?
And that was the thing. It's like, so I thought they should do nothing.
Yeah.
Because
it's gone away.
I don't remember talking about it at all in November, December, January. By the end of the year, there were maybe a half dozen guys kneeling, and they were like all in the 49ers, right?
Right.
So like there was almost no one kneeling anymore. It wasn't an issue anymore. The only time we've talked about it is when these guys have gotten together and it's been on the agenda.
Yes.
And they've spoken about
it. No, I know why they did it. Here's it has nothing to do with kneeling. They did it so they look like superheroes. They look good, so they look like they're the Patriots.
Yeah, I think there are two reasons. That's one of them. I think there are two reasons why they did it. One of them is that they've gotten pressure from fans, from business partners, from corporate sponsors, from all these people that they're reliant on. And so that's one piece of it. The second piece of it is they were afraid that if there was some sort of event, whether like either the president saying something or something happening in society that would inspire some kind of protest, that they were going to be caught flat-footed if they didn't have something on the books.
Did they not
so
realize
they,
like
they
gonna...
had to have some sort of they had to have something on the books? And the problem with the policy now is they've tried to please everyone, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because the when they were in that meeting, the one thing, I know Roger said this to the room, we have two things that we need to work with here. One, we want to have an enforceable policy because we don't want to be caught flat-footed again. Two, we need to make sure that we give the players options. And so the way they middled it was, you can't kneel, but you can stay in the locker.
Okay, well, I mean, it's atrocious because we talked about like Matt Light. So yeah. Matt Light is on the opposite side of the spectrum as a lot of the people who have been kneeling. Yeah. He thinks you are disrespecting the country when you do that, and that's a opinion that there's a lot of people that have that. But even he thinks that this is awful because in his mind, it now gives players a right to protest. Like, you actually can stay off of the field during the national anthem. So you've got people on the far ends of both sides of this issue both going, this sucks. Like, if they would have just flat out said, you are going to get penalized if you kneel during the anthem.
Well, I'm
going to
be taking names about who's on the sideline.
So we already know the play. Yeah, but that's going to happen.
Yes, it is going to happen.
Like, what are you going to have reporters doing week one, week
two? Who's out? Who's not?
They're going to be sitting there taking attendance.
On top of that.
Like, they're going to be taking attendance like it's training camp, right?
And what if you have to take a dump? And then you're like,
I gotta get out there.
Yeah. Or how about that's not how you protest. The way that people
That's a real scenario.
I'm not lying.
That's like a real scenario.
Like, wait, let's not be gross. Like, what if you're like getting like taped up and then all of a sudden they're like, the national anthem's coming.
That's like,
it's true. Yeah, no, I'm serious. Yeah. And then you gotta be like, feet don't fail me now. I love America.
I mean, sure. Yeah.
And then you gotta answer it and then nobody believes you. Oh, sure. You spit out. Now it's because you got backlash. That's why you're saying
right,
that. No, literally, I had to take a dump.
You got some people that are
Rhea.
I mean, like, let's call it what it is. There's right wing and left wing, right? Like, so, like, there's right wing people who are declaring victory now and left wing people who are all upset, but we're going to get to the fall, and you know what's going to happen? Every team's going to have a different policy. So you're going to have Christopher Johnson already said, right, like, I'm willing to pay the fine. My guys can do whatever the hell they want.
Which is smart.
Like, Jeff Lurie probably does that in Philly. Jed York probably does that in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got other teams that have got like this strict policy. So if you're a casual fan, you're going to look at this and you're going to say, what the hell's going on here?
Well, how about
Teams are enforcing it. Other teams aren't. Like the Eagles go to Dallas, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff Lurie says, we're going to pay the fine. Our guys can do whatever they want. Okay. So now the Eagles are in Jerry Jones's stadium kneeling.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just like this thing, like to me, like the you look at the policy itself and you're allowing every team to make up its own rules and like you've just created a new news story.
Well, on top
you've
of
just
that,
created,
all
like,
of these,
your idea is to put the focus back in football. And now it's like in September, what are we going to be talking about? We're going to be talking about it.
Well,
again.
the best thing that came out yesterday, not the best, but the one that they should have seen coming is now players are saying we weren't planning on protesting in the upcoming year. But because of this, we're now figuring out new ways to do it. And I know the guy from, was it the owner of the Steelers? No, it wasn't the owner of the Steelers. I think it was the GM from the Steelers.
Who?
But he made a statement. Someone from the Steelers made a statement that things that could now be considered protesting.
Art Rooney's the owner.
Oh, it was Rooney. Okay, yeah, was Rooney. He the one who said this? Okay.
Yeah.
It was like it was either a fist in the air or locking arms. And then I'm like, Tom Brady locked arms with his teammates. Like, I mean,
Jerry Jones did too.
Yeah, like, so
even
that,
though he has this unrelenting love.
See,
so that's
flag.
Something you can get fined for now?
But you know what Jerry's motivation is?
Money.
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 It's always
money,
been money.
That's what
money.
I'm saying. Yeah.
All these guys, it is too. Like, that's
yes,
the thing
it's
is,
fraudulent.
It's all by region of the country. Right? Like,
right.
Jerry Jones's audience is way different than Robert Kraft or Christopher Johnson or Jeffrey Lurie's audience.
Do you
audience.
Think that Jerry Jones gives a rat's ass in real life based on principle if you stand for the national anthem? Of course not.
I mean, the two guys who abstained are from the same market.
It was
Jed York and Mark Davis.
Yeah.
They're from
yeah.
the same market.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Market
and,
basket.
You know, like, so, I mean, like Gail Benson. The Saints owner,
yeah.
Bob McNair, the Texans owner, Jerry Jones, the Cowboys owner, they're dealing with a different dynamic than the guy in San Francisco, the guy in Oakland, the two owners in L.A. And it's so you're going to have these rules sort of fit to each part of the country. It's just you're better off having no policy.
I know. They better off just not even doing anything about it.
So lock arms, they'll turn their backs or something.
I mean, but
these
again,
guys
they're
true patriots.
They're worried about another crap show where something happens in September or October, and then we've got one of those weekends like that Trump weekend. Like
there's
last
nothing
year.
Cynical about that. Like, imagine if there's this grave injustice that happens, and we're caught flat-footed. Like they're not like
you're right.
They're not like
that's
concerned
how they
about the actual.
I know exactly why they're doing it.
Yeah,
but I just like what if there's like this heinous thing that happens, and I mean, what if the guys are going to kneel?
You get to experience it for breakfast.
He's like, hello,
the Toucher and Rich Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Burt Breer from MMQB in studio. And I might as well piss off the audience right now. I thought you wrote a fantastic article about how the Jets landed Darnold.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, it went through like a year, and you went through everything that happened for them to get Darnold. Is that the belief that Darnold is the best quarterback in that class?
I think there's no. I think there's some split on. I mean, obviously the Browns didn't think so.
And yeah, but they're idiots.
And there were other teams that liked Mayfield best. You know, there were teams that thought Rosen was the best player, but didn't feel great about like who he was from a personality standpoint.
But nobody thought the Wyoming kid was the best.
No, I think Buffalo and the Cardinals.
Well, Buffalo obviously because they took him.
Arizona, like from what I heard, Arizona had Josh Allen as the number one overall player in the class, not just the number one quarterback.
No, oh, wow.
And so there was split opinion. The Browns were the only team in the top five that didn't have Darnold number one, though. So I think he was seen as sort of the safest guy and potential to get a lot better because he's not one of these kids who like had a quarterback's coach from the time he was eight.
Right.
He's just an athlete. Like he was a linebacker until his sophomore year in high school, switched to quarterback, was a great high school basketball player, and really everything that he did the last 2 years at USC was without that background. So he's kind of just like athletically figuring it out as he went along.
Right.
And the feeling is that once he gets to the league, they'll be able to clean up some of the stuff where he's still a little raw. And just because athletically he has, you know, just, you know, some guys just like you put a ball in their hands and whatever it is, they'll figure it out. Like he's one of these kids. So once you refine him, the ceiling might be pretty high.
All right. So to the Patriots, Gronkowski, basically, it's just a matter of him signing something, and he'll be back soon.
Yeah, I know that they've been talking for quite some time now, and I think that was always the feeling that, you know, after they had the meeting, and I think the meeting was pretty much sparked by that big, you know, crap show of a press conference that he had,
right?
For Monster Energy drink, yeah, or the dirt, motocross or whatever,
the motocross thing. Yeah,
yeah. So, like, I think that. My feeling is that's what sparked the, all right, like, we got to figure something out because this can't go on any longer. And you start to talk about a contract. The important day was yesterday, which was, you know, the 1 year anniversary of his last restructure. So now the rules are a whole bunch looser on what they can do as far as giving him a raise. And I'd anticipate that he will get one. The interesting thing about that is because this is such a long contract. Like when he signed it, there were 8 years left on it.
Yeah.
Like this is the first time they've actually gone in where it could be an extension. Like not just cheap, like moving dollars around the way that they have. Like this could actually be an extension.
How far? How far are they willing to go? Well, considering his injury history, he's 29, 30. How far out are they willing to go?
Well, I don't know, but that's the thing is these don't work like baseball contracts. Like all that matters is like how much is guaranteed.
Right.
Right. Like that's all that
True.
Matters. So like a player is actually going to want a shorter contract. You give him extra years. When you give him extra years, most of the time the extra years aren't guaranteed.
Right.
And so that's what the team wants because those are basically team options. You would give him more money. You would extend his contract out to move some of the money around.
How much money up front are they willing to give him in how short a time span, I guess is my point.
I'd have to look at like what Sammy Watkins got. But Sammy Watkins got a 3-year, $48 million deal. I believe 30 of it was fully guaranteed.
Wow.
So, okay. Like, what you would basically, in essence, like the question would be, how much are you willing to put in the first 2 years? And then is a piece of the third year guaranteed? Because that's really like, if you fully say you want to match what Sammy got, so the first 2 years maybe are $30 million fully guaranteed, and then you have some guarantee, and then maybe the numbers go down in year three, year four, year five, and a little bit of the money in year three is guaranteed, or maybe even like maybe a little more than that is fully guaranteed. So the team has to feel it a little bit if they're moving on from him then.
All right, so is it bad that this didn't get done yesterday? Because they have had all this time to discuss things.
I mean, unless he just decided, I mean, look, if they had some sort of agreement in principle, and to be clear, I don't know, but if they had some sort of agreement in principle, here's what we're going to do, and he said, okay, well, I'm not going to show up until, because I don't want to go out there and twist an ankle or whatever, I'm not going to show up until after we get the deal done. I mean, maybe they say to him, well, let's just take the whole first week off because, you know, Brady's not going to be here anyway. And, you know, we'll work through the particulars over the course of, you know, the that week. And so it's possible that that could have something to do with it.
Are the Patriots upset at all that Brady is not there? Obviously, it's a huge story here because he's always there for OTAs. He's always there when install goes.
I think you moved on too quickly. Is there a chance that Rob Gronkowski would retire in the next 3 years? Like if they gave him a 3-year deal, even if it was for a lot of money, based on his age again and his injury history.
Yeah, I think so because like there was a point last year where I think he felt like his body was starting to fail him. And that changed because he changed the way he was working out. And that's where the whole Guerrero conflict comes into play because I think he, at least the feeling I've gotten, is that he credits a lot of the way he felt and when he started to feel better with the work that he did with Guerrero. And so I wouldn't be, I mean, you don't know when he could regress, you know, and he's had so many surgeries. I mean, how many times has he been cut open since he's been a pro? Like he all of a sudden, you know, gets to October of this year and suddenly starts to feel like crap again. And this starts to feel like a real job for him. You can't predict that. So if he were to get back into like where he was mentally last summer in October or November, I wouldn't rule anything out.
Wow. That quickly.
I mean, I just don't think like you can't predict that sort of thing, you know.
Right.
Like he's taking care of his money. He's obviously thought about retirement before. You guys have heard the line, right? Like once you start to think about retiring,
sure,
then it becomes real. So he's already kind of like walked down that street,
right?
And now he's walking back, but he has kind of like got himself where. Like players get themselves and they start to think about it.
And you start to envision your life without football
right.
And starting that being a possibility.
And if you suddenly feel like crap in a few months, right, maybe you start to entertain those thoughts again.
Well, that was like Ninkovich is that he just got into training camp and he was like, I just don't want to do this anymore.
I mean, and you know what it is too, is like it's almost never that these guys fall out of love with Sunday. So they fall out of love with Monday through Saturday.
Right, right.
I mean, like
and
for a lot
summers and what used to be 2-a-days and all that stuff.
Right, well, you guys remember like when Favre would go back and forth, right? What would he do? He would like skip the entire offseason.
Right.
He would mess with like he would be, you know, back and forth like some like girl in a bad relationship. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then all of a sudden it would get to be summer. It's like, "Oh, I do want to play. I actually do want to play in the games." And so, you know, it's just that's the difference. Like to me, like that's the difference with Brady. Is like Brady seems to like the work.
All right. Well, let's get to Brady. We'll be right back, and we'll talk to Bert Breer about that.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh yeah, Wallach. 98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. Yeah, fine.
Don't sweat the technique.
Bert Breer from MMQB in studio now. Is everyone making too big a deal about this Brady not participating?
No,
in the OTAs.
Because we make a huge deal when he's the first one in the building in the middle of April, right?
Right.
And I don't think it's going to stop them from winning 11, 12, 13 games. I don't think it's going to stop them from throwing for 4,500 yards. But look, I mean, so much of what they've been over the last 18 years is Bill Belichick being able to run his program a certain way, being able to coach them hard, being able to demand a lot from guys, being able to create this sort of peer pressure in the building where everybody shows up for everything, right? The like hashtag no days off. And like, this is the guy who's enabled all of that. Like, because Brady's willing to be coached hard, because they can MF him in the classroom, because he shows up because he's been so diligent about getting himself ready. Like, the coaches have always been able to point to number 12 and say, "Hey, look over there. Like, that guy's doing it. Are you going to be the one who's not going to do it?" And that's enabled everything. And so you can't tell me that doesn't have an effect when he's not there, you know, because they don't have that, because right now they don't have that. In fact, and, you know, Tom Curran last night on NBC brought up a great point, you know, when I was on with him. You know, he brought up that, like, you know, for so long, like, I brought that point up, and for so long, Tom Brady has enabled what Bill Belichick wants to do. And now it's gone the other way, where Tom Brady's enabled Gronkowski to do this, right?
Right.
Is
yeah.
it Brady's not doing this, and Brady's not like poking the bear and twisting the knife with all the Instagram stuff and everything else? Is Gronk doing it? Probably not, right?
Right.
Like, Gronk probably doesn't feel comfortable being the only one like acting that well, like doing those sorts of things. And so,
can this lead to like a rebellion in that, you know, all these players start going to Guerrero and they're a little bit more.
Well, so here's the thing, okay? I think it might you know, it just loosen the program a little bit, just a little bit, you know, and that brings me to the second part of this, which is, you guys remember, like, after the Malcolm Butler pick, right, in Seattle, like in Seattle, and there was practice video out there of them running the actual play, right? Like, and then you guys, well, you probably remember this, 13, 14 years ago, there was the game in Denver where they took the safety.
Yeah.
And I remember the story out there.
Paxton snapped it off the crossbar.
Right, right. Yeah. And like, at the time, I was like, what the hell are they doing? And then they explained it after the game, and then, well, we practiced that, right? Their advantage, we've heard forever, their advantage over everyone else is what? The details, okay? And how do they get to the details? Well, they get to the details because they're spending more time on everything than everybody else. I mean, this time of year, there are lots of coaches, like in lots of other NFL cities, the coaches are going home at 5 or 6 o'clock like normal people. Here, during OTAs, the coaches are going home at 9 or 10 at night. That's always been their advantage over everybody else. And so, if Brady's not like spending that same amount of time, like, do I think it's going to cost him in October? No. Could it cost him in January? Like, where you don't have that little thing. Yeah, because they've told us that makes a difference, right?
Right.
So that's where I think it makes a difference. Again, I don't think it's going to prevent Tom Brady from being a top two or three quarterback in the NFL. I don't think it's going to prevent them from, you know, being one of the teams that gets a bye in January. But could it cost them when they get there? Yeah, it certainly could. Could this cost them 2 or 3 years down the line when there are younger players who are coming up through the program who, you know, don't see Tom Brady doing all of this? Yeah, I do think that can cost them. That's just, it's we've heard for so long. It's so central to who they are.
All right, why is Brady doing this?
I think part of it is twisting the knife. Like, now, I think what he'll say is what he said at the end of Tom versus Time, which is, I owed it to my family. And I don't think that that's like, I don't think that's nothing, but I also don't think that's the main reason why. I mean, look, he could come, like he's local, right? Now, he's traveled a lot, but he is local. I think the most they can spend with them by rule is for most of the offseason program is 4 hours a day, four days a week. Okay. So all this spending your time with family, I mean, look, it's important, right? Like, to spend time with your family. That said, all of these guys have 3 months off at the end of the year, and then when they come back, they're working basic. They're only allowed to be in the building something like 16 hours a week. So it's not a lot. You can work your family stuff around that. So yeah, I mean, I think there's an element here of you've made me massively uncomfortable for the last 2 years. You've made this a tough place for me to work. So you know what? I'm going to be there when I'm going to be there, and if I make you a little uncomfortable, then that's okay.
It also appears, at least in the media, that Brady still has the backing of the owner, who said in Atlanta this week, you know, Tom's older, he has three kids, he's spending time with his family, and if Brady is indeed twisting the knife, it looks like the owner has taken his side over the head coach's side. How much friction is there?
I think this all relates back to Deflategate. I think a lot of this relates back to Deflategate, because I go back there, and I think one of the things that Robert Kraft really took to heart was when his audience, when the Patriots fans, right, pointed at him and said, "You turned your back on Brady." You remember the meeting in San Francisco when he got up there and he said, and there were a lot of people around here, and I don't think it was completely fair, but there were a lot of people around here who said, "You sided with the owners over Tom Brady." I think he really took that to heart, and I think there was an overcorrection there where he went so far in the other direction to prove how close he was to Brady. And I think to some degree that's empowered Brady. And I think to some degree that's kind of put Brady in a different, and he should be because he's the greatest quarterback of all time, but that's sort of put Brady in a different category where maybe it's a little bit more difficult to treat him like he's the 30th player in the roster, which has always been the strength of the program, that Bill Belichick can do that, right? And I think part of it for Brady, too, is like, look, I've eaten crap for 18 years here. I've taken less money. I've allowed you to coach me the way that you want to coach me on the field. I've done everything you've ever asked of me. And now I just want this one little thing, right? Like, I just want this one little thing. I want to be able to use the platform that I have now as a player to build the business that I plan to run for the next 20 or 25 years. This is what I'm going to do post-football. And that's a problem?
Right.
So if you're Brady, think about that part of it, right? Because this is bigger than just, well, you know, one, you know, like this is more than just like the 2018 Patriots. This is like what he's going to be doing for the rest of his life or the rest of his professional life. This is like his business. And like, that's to me where like that's where it's hard to solve, because on one side you've got Belichick, who is like the strength of the program has always been how just how stringent it is, just how on board everybody is, and just how like unrelenting every piece of it is. And the only solution for him, the only bridge he can build there is like, I've got to relent a little bit, right?
Right.
Which it was against everything that he's built here for 18 years. On the other side, you've got a player who's, you know, like basically said, I've done everything you've asked of me for 18 years.
Sure.
And I just, I want to do something here. I want to use this platform to build my business. And now you've got a problem with my teammates coming up, and like there's no better advertisement for TB12 than half the team walking up those steps to the clinic, is there?
Sure. Right.
I mean, like TB12, like Brady's obviously getting a lot out of it, right? But when Rob Gronkowski is suddenly not getting hurt anymore,
then it proves it. All right. Yeah.
If you would like to witness something amazing, you can stay here for this next break, because there is a part of John Wallach's life that we've been exploring lately that is absolutely fascinating.
Have anything to do with pornography?
No.
We passed that.
I didn't know if you guys had investigated, and we got him caught in a lie.
No. This is a whole lot sexier than that, and that is John's strange fascination and almost what is the word? Idiot savant level of knowledge when it comes to all things 90s new jack music.
And there's so
and
much
sexy R&B music from the 90s,
and I just pictured John as a guy in the 90s just like going, you know what, I'm gonna be like Keith Sweat.